hear the word terrorism, what do you think of? The Middle East? Missiles? Aeroplanes? Perhaps machetes, knives? All that kind of nastiness. But do you think of bugs, for example? I certainly didn't, until I read a recent report from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute called Weapons of Mass Economic Disruption, Rethinking Biosecurity in Australia. And I tell you what, it scared the hell out of me. I'm glad people are doing something about this, and I thought maybe you'd like to know about it. So joining me now is Dr. John Coyne from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute to talk about just this. John Coyne, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you, Amanda.
Well, I don't read many things that scare the hell out of me, but this report did.
Look, I think from my perspective, there's two parts. One thing we should be concerned about, which is that the technologies for hurting our country economically, changing rapidly and becoming more and more available. Secondly, governments and non-state actors seem to, the threshold for using these things get lower and lower. So who would have thought 10 years ago that we'd be here right now and there had been a chemical and a radiological attack in London committed by the Russians? So there's that side of it. The good side, of course, which is, as and you'll be well aware of this, is that in the post-9/11 days, our security services, border agencies have become exceptionally good at counter-proliferation, so stopping those weapons of mass destruction. And on the other side, our agricultural people, and this is our AQUAS people, have become exceptional about disrupting the sorts of things that are accidental, unintentional and negligent that are introduced into our ecosystems here. But there's a nasty little middle ground there that we need to reconsider now.
Sure. And in agriculture in particular, because what is it, about 12% of our GDP, over $150 billion. Okay, we're not riding on the sheep's back anymore, but that is a really important industry, and it's one that is quite susceptible to this sort of problem, isn't it?
Look, it is. We can look at this two separate ways. Let's be quite frank. This country has a deep emotional connection to our agricultural industry. It's part of our heritage and who we are, so there's that part of it. But as you rightly point out, the other issue is globally, Australia is recognised as a source of clean, good food.
Clean food is important, isn't it?
Well, I think we take it a little bit for granted here in Australia, Amanda. You know, look, I've talked to a colleague about this yesterday, which is, you know, we take for granted walking up, turning on the tap and having a glass of water. That's okay. It's good to drink. Now, if we prefer, we don't like fluoride or other issues, well, of course, we'll buy bottled water. But on a whole, we don't go to the shops worrying about whether or not, you know, vegetables are covered in poisons or things like that. Now,
we don't know how lucky we are in so many respects.
And that's hard work and, well, a little bit of luck because this country, of course, as an island, is free from a range of diseases that are found elsewhere. A lot to do with legislation of consecutive governments, which have stopped the presence of things like DDT and Dieldrin. So, you know, those heavy cancerous chemicals that have been used in primary industry. So we've been incredibly fortunate in this country. Also fortunate for us is people globally look at our products and say anything that's got Australia written on it and is food is likely to be clean and good quality. So that's one of our key marketable strengths in terms of those agricultural industries. And of course, if you want to do Australia harm, which there are people out there, there's states out there who, you know, at times want to do that, and there's non-state actors who may want to do that, and there's criminals who may want to do it to force markets and change prices. So it's highly susceptible.
Well, let's go through a couple of examples to just make it clear. I mean, we're talking not on a theoretical level, I know, but without examples, it is, in a sense, just theoretical. Let's talk about the kangaroo meat. That was a good example of the kangaroo meat in Russia.
Look, and I think this is where, whether you like or loathe the kangaroo industry in Australia, the truth be known is that it was worth roughly about $180 million a year in exports for Australia. It had flow-on effects into the Australian primary industry, flow-on effects into the management of kangaroo populations, etc. When MH17 was shot down over the Ukraine by Russia, in the days and weeks that followed, Australia was incredibly vocal, as the rest of the world, in pointing out the activities of the Russian government in the Ukraine, and at the same time is making a clear link based on evidence that the Russians had had some involvement in the shooting down of MH17. Shortly thereafter, and after all of that criticism, the Russians claimed and alleged to have found a number of hormones in our export of kangaroo meat industry, and overnight that industry was completely ceased and halted. Now, all those people involved in that industry in Australia lost their jobs. Now, it's very difficult to sit there and give an absolute causal and say, well, this was because of Australia's criticism of Russia. But truth be told, we can draw enough conclusions to turn around and say, well, look, the meat that was exported from Australia was tested and found not to contain anything. When it arrived, it was alleged to have been found to contain hormones and unacceptable levels of hormones. My point here being that, you know, that could quite conceivably have been an activity to punish Australia for its outright vocal criticism of the Russian government.
Mm. Can you tell us about examples where people have been able to create dangerous things, where authorities have known about it and not realised the risk and how easy it is for people to buy stuff off the net to make that type of thing? I mean, you have got one really good example.
Look, I tell you, Amanda, what we could do right now, you and I could get online and we could order ourselves for $169 US, a little scientific kit with all the know-how, with live samples of E. coli. We can genetically modify that at our home so that those samples of E. coli can survive in environments that they wouldn't normally be able to do. And what we're talking about here is sort of the technology that 5 years ago
was... very expensive labs.
They're very expensive labs. It was the realm of governments. All of a sudden, you and I can sit in our kitchen at home and genetically modify E. coli to survive in environments where it shouldn't. So we can actually change that and it's readily available.
Oh. That's just terrible. I'm talking with Dr. John Coyne from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, and we're talking about weapons of mass economic disruption. Don't think of missiles and aeroplanes, think of bugs. Now, from things that are readily available to people with intent, what about the poor guys that went fishing and used some frozen, raw Chinese prawn meat?
Look, yeah, this is an incredible warning for Australia in terms of, number one, our ecosystem, and number two, the importance of investments in quarantine and its services in Australia and border controls. You'll be well aware of this from your time in government, Amanda, which is that the bottom line is that there were some issues with the importation of green prawns into Australia. A number of green prawns were imported containing a virus that, well, the world became aware of it in the early 2000s. That's a white spot virus. So what it does is within about a 24-hour period, it has a 100% mortality rate in crustaceans. So if you're farming prawns and your prawns get this white spot virus, they will be dead, well, within 24 hours. So a couple of young chaps go buy some green prawns, unbeknownst to them, started fishing. That disease had a major outbreak in the Logan River and, you know, it cost hundreds of millions of dollars by the time we finished. So when we talk about weapons of economic destruction, what I want you to sit there and say is if you wanted to manipulate the price of prawns in Australia to make more money, if you wanted to just be genuinely malicious and have an impact. Mm. A handful of infected prawns could shut down the whole industry and cost hundreds of millions of dollars. Sure, it's not as breathtaking as an attack like 9/11, but it still has a massive economic impact on Australia.
Mm. And crop spraying's a risk too, isn't it, now? Because people can get drones and, you know, fly over their own crops but accidentally spray the ones next door. And that can be very, very expensive. But it also means that people of ill will can use drones to do bad things to other crops.
Look, that's correct. I think that, you know, we've seen examples of where this has happened accidentally with oversprays across Australia. The real issue here is really thinking about there's a number of things. Number one is that all of a sudden our focus nationally has always been on weapons of mass destruction. You know, we're focused on stopping people, killing hundreds of people, which is rightfully what we should be. Now that we've got a reasonable control over that situation, these sorts of incidents are a little bit harder to detect. So, you know, we have to control access to chemicals. So which chemicals? The other thing is you will remember, you know, DDT and deodorant widely used in Australia throughout the 70s. And there's probably drums sitting around the countryside all over the place still. And, you know, those things can easily or reasonably easily obtained, and all it takes is a minimum spray. Now, the other thing is that when someone attacks you and tries to cause mass casualties, that's the effect. But in terms of our economic well-being, you don't actually have to make every cow in Australia have foot and mouth disease or every prawn have white spot or poison, you know, every crop. What I'm trying to say here is that, you know, a handful of incidents can then be amplified out globally, which then results in what we like to call this, you know, weapons of mass economic disruption. And it's not a new thing, but what we need to do is we need to concentrate a little bit more effort now that we've got those other issues solved in terms of weapons of mass destruction and accidental infections and outbreaks, etc. And we need to put a little bit more thought about, you know, how do we control access to this sort of material and what are the indicators, the warnings that someone's going to do something like this?
Mm. Well, you were mentioning much earlier how lucky we all are that we just go to a tap. There's water you can drink, potable water, we don't even think about it. But, you know, someone who wanted to commit a terrible terrorism crime in Australia could look at the water supply.
Look,
and it would be devastating.
They would be devastating. Fortunately, we have in that post-9/11 period, so at the time, you know, a great deal of work was done around poisoning of water supplies. And we're very fortunate in that, in the sense that it is, in fact, incredibly difficult to poison like a water supply in a grand sense. And we've got, you know, the sorts of materials you would need. You know, our intelligence and national security apparatus is out there searching all the time for evidence that someone is trying to do that. You know, we've had scares, certainly in Europe, with groups trying to manufacture the poison ricin. You know, the harder thing is are these small outbreaks. So imagine if a few people were poisoned by water. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting at the tap at home and I'm staring at, well, is the tap safe or not? Am I willing to make the risk?
Sure, so you go and buy a bottle of water.
That's exactly right, and it changes our behaviour and it has a direct economic impact. This is the sort of stuff we're talking about, and I think we need to continually review our assumptions of what we think, you know, the people who are going to do us ill and harm are likely to do.
Yeah. Instead of just thinking of the missiles and the planes and the machete knives, start thinking, well, what could you do if you had your act together? It's a terrible thing, but, you know, I have to say, this is a really interesting approach to our security, definitely one we should be refreshing or checking that it's all in order, the government responses. I mean, that's what you're really asking for, isn't it?
It's
relevant departments have another look and just make sure that everything, as good as we are, is as good as it can be. I think it's a very clear warning to governments to sit up, pay attention and have another look. I mean, you rightly say they're doing well. We have to make sure they're doing a perfect job. Dr. John Coyne from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, thanks for joining us on Counterpoint.
Thank you very much, Amanda.